Colossians chapter 1 in the Word of God tonight. Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to begin reading, and it's almost an awkward place. Doesn't seem to have a lot of logic behind it. But still, I want to start reading at verse 13. Colossians 1, 13, and I'd like to read down through and include verse 20. That's going to be my text this evening. Might not get to discuss it all or preach it all, but I sure do want to read it all. And I just wonder, and you don't have to do this, and if you're not able, it's all right, but I'm thinking it'd be a good idea to stand while I read from this passage. Are y'all all right with that? Verse 13. It starts out with the pronoun who. Of course, any time you got a pronoun, it's got an antecedent somewhere. It's renaming someone. And if you look back in verse 12, you'll immediately see it's the Father. God the Father. Who, God the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's a good place to start preaching right there, I think. But that's not all. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. His dear Son. His dear Son. That'd be Jesus, wouldn't it? Verse 14, in whom? Jesus. In whom we have redemption through His blood. What do you mean? Even the forgiveness of sins. Who? That's still Jesus. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, still talking about our Lord. For by Him were all things created. Things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Get this, and for Him, and for Him. Verse 17, He is before all things. He is before all things, and get this, by Him all things consist. Wow. Boy, you'd think Paul would be wore out. He'd be through, but he's not. Look at verse 18. Still talking about our Lord. He is the head of the body. Anybody here in the body? He is the head of the body. You say, what body is that? Comma, the church. Who is the beginning? Jesus. The firstborn from the dead. That. It's a statement of purpose that in all things, I need an amen, He might have the preeminence. I want to read two more verses. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, should all, watch that word, fullness dwell. I guess I could say if you got Jesus, you got it all. All fullness. And, verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Anybody here tonight been reconciled? You may be seated. You may be seated there where you are. I'm already sensing a probably too big a text, too many verses. But I want to just wade into it, asking God to touch it and bless it for His honor and for His glory. I don't know if you picked up on it tonight. Pretty much the whole service. Certainly the special singing. Hope I get an amen here. It's been all about Jesus. It's been all about Jesus. And now I've read this paragraph. Guess what? It's all about Jesus. Let's just have a Jesus night around here. Would that be all right with y'all? Verse 13. Who, and granted, I already mentioned it when I read, that's God the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That implies that I at one time was living in darkness. It implies that I was subjected to that darkness, the power of darkness. But have y'all heard? I got to tell you, I've been delivered. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Let me say that if you're here tonight and you're saved, you've been delivered too, thank God. Hath delivered us. That's an aorist verb. It's a past tense verb. He's not going to deliver me. He's not simply in the process. He has done it. I've been a saved. I have been saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That verb, hath delivered, is amazing. It is a Greek verb that means this. To reach over here, something's in a unfortunate situation, it's in the bad thing, and to watch now, snatch it out of its dreadful place. To snatch it out of its place. Anybody remember when you got snatched? I was lost, I was undone, I was on my way to a devil's hell. And that word ruomai, that particular verb, it means rescued. It means rescued. Hallelujah. God rescued me. Somehow I don't think I'm explaining that real well. I thought it would be interesting maybe to get two or three parallel verbs to illustrate that He hath delivered us, but I really don't have time. I've got so much. Here's one that'll work. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God, dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be, here it comes, shall be caught up. Shall be caught up. Anybody believe we're going to get caught up one of these days? We're going to get caught out of here. That's a verb delivered. Preacher, I was lost. He snatched me out. He caught me up. He lifted me out of the miry pit, set my feet on the solid rock. Glory to His name. God the Father did that for me. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And He hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who would that be? The kingdom of His dear Son. If you'll smile, I'll tell you, that's King Jesus, I reckon. Kingdom of His dear Son. I've been delivered. Now learn I have been translated. Translated. Oh, what a word. Translated. You don't even have to look at the Greek there. Translated in English. It has a Latin background. Let me show you what it means. It's transfer. Our word, but it is a past participle form of transfer. This is what it means. God came to me where I was. I was out in darkness and sin and filth and garbage and iniquity, and God picked me up and He washed me in the blood of the Lamb. And Pharaoh, He transferred me. He translated me. F-E-R-R-O. It's a Latin verb that means, I'll see how country you are. It's a Latin verb that means to tote. To carry, to try. He picked me up and He toted me. He transferred me. He carried me. Trans. T-R-A-N-S. It means over yonder. It means across the great divide. He picked me up a sinner and He set me down a saint. Hallelujah. I knew you could translate nouns, and I knew you could translate verbs. I didn't know you could translate a Bible. Hallelujah. But I've been translated by the amazing grace of God. And the good news, if you're saved, He translated you also. God the Father delivered us and translated us into the kingdom of His, not just His Son, His dear son. His dear son. I guess we better look at verse 14. We have now changed subjects. No longer the Father, but the Son in whom we have redemption. Through His blood. I can't believe this. I have been delivered. I have been translated. And now you're fixing to tell me I have been redeemed. Did I make an announcement? That's good news right there. Sounds like the gospel to me. That's good news right there. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood. The word there for redemption, it uses a little phrase in the Greek New Testament. Lutron. L-U-T-R-O-N. Lutron. What does it mean, Preacher Bagwell? Well, the word itself means a payment. A price is involved. I still don't get it. We have redemption through His blood. The preacher gave us a beautiful illustration 10 minutes ago. When the Lord found me, will I get an amen? I had been sold into the slave market of sin. I'm thinking of old Gomer. I'm thinking of Hosea's wife, Gomer. Oh, she was unfaithful. She was untrue. She's about as low down as a mama could be. Hosea named one of his boys. Not mine. Not mine. He's raising that boy and he knows that boy's not his. Oh, my. Well, and she got herself into a mess. Anybody here believe there's such a thing as the wages of sin? She got herself in a mess. She got herself sold as simply a slave, as low down as you could be. And you're not going to believe this. God's working over here on this end. And He comes to her husband. His name is Hosea. He's a prophet of God. And God said, I want you to go out there and find her. Well, Lord, I've done it before. It'll do no good. She's a habitual fornicator, adulterer. Well, no, I want you to go one more time. I want you to go one more time. He said, I want you to take something with you. I want you to take some of your crops with you. I want you to take a little bit of money with you. He said, I'll help you find her. She'll be over there in jail. She'll be sold under the shackles of sin and degradation. But said, I want you to go over there. I hope I get an amen here. I want you to go over there and bid on her. Did y'all hear that? I want you to go over there and bid on her. Well, Lord, my goodness, I shouldn't have to bid on her. She's already mine. I married her. Long. No, I want you to go bid on her. I want you to go and I don't know if that's making any sense. But boy, one day, I sold in slavery. I was absolutely under the domain of the devil. But somebody, he's my husband, I just didn't know it. He's my bridegroom, I just wasn't aware of it. He came where I was, and boy, did he do some bidding. Oh, what a price he paid. Preacher Bagwell, what price did he pay? It's in my verse, the blood of Jesus. Don't you ever let the devil tell you you're valueless or that you're worthless. God said you're worth, that you're worth the shedding of the blood of His darling Son. Anybody here tonight, if you got what you deserve, you'd still be in the shackles of sin. You'd be in the slave market of the devil. But thank God you've been set free. Hallelujah. It's just Bible vocabulary. What our Savior has done for us is magnificent life and death and resurrection. Redemption, verse 14, through His blood. I can't let that pass. Through His blood. Anybody here still believe in the blood? Oh, how the blood is being belittled in our day and time. It began in a seminary out west. And it spread. It is the idea that, well, it's not the blood that really saves. Listen to me. They're saying it's the death that saves. And that all the blood is, it's just a euphemism. It's just a code word for the death of Jesus. Not the blood, it's the death of Jesus that saves you. I want you to listen to me. It is the blood. It is the blood. It is not simply the death. It is the blood. Brother Bagwell, what do you mean? And a lot of preachers here, and y'all can help me if I'm wrong here. I do not have a verse of Scripture that says if they stone him to death, I can be saved. I can't find. I do not have a verse of Scripture that says if they had burned him at the stake, I could be saved. I don't have a verse that says if they hung him by a rope till he choked to death, I could be saved. But I got me a dozen verses. In fact, it might be 18 of them. Says if he's nailed to a cross, if his body is pierced, if he sheds that blood, that blood can wash away my sin. It is the blood. It is the blood. It is the blood. I'd like to announce the blood hadn't lost its power. Hallelujah. Amen. While I'm on the subject, I think I'd just like to say this. That blood didn't go in the ground and rot. It did not decompose. That's eternal, incorruptible blood. I can hear somebody now. Pray tell, where is it? I'm not a smart aleck, but I think I know. I believe it's in glory. I believe it's on the mercy seat. I believe our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, sprinkles it there. It is the blood. Hallelujah. And while I'm on the blood, my mind flashes back to something Paul wrote in Hebrews. Says we have a new and living way. A new and living way, which is by the blood of our Savior. New and living way. It is a technical Greek term that means this. Get these two words about the blood. It's going to be that way when we get there. Freshly slain. Freshly slain. When we get to glory, see that blood on the mercy seat, it's not going to be dried up. It's not going to be flaky and blown all over the place. It's still going to glisten. It's still going to be freshly slain. We're still going to say, thank God for the blood. It is the blood, I'm telling you. Them fellows are probably a whole lot smarter than me. I can't hold a candle to them, but I got enough sense. It's not just his death, it's the blood atonement that gets us. Are y'all okay? We have redemption through his blood, comma, even the forgiveness of sins. Even, it's amplifying it, we say, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to try to illustrate with something. Hand me that hymn book under your sign. In your, I like that sanctified imagination of a young person. I want you to imagine this weighs a ton. Just imagine it. 2,000 pounds. Even the forgiveness of sins. Here's the word forgiveness. Somebody comes and takes a load, a heavy load. We're letting it be a ton. A ton. It represents our sin, our failure, our shortcoming. This is the word forgiveness. God came to me. God lifted that load of sin and he carried it. He carried it away. He carried it far away. I need to hear some amens. Your sin is going out of the tabernacle. He carried it further and further and further away. Preacher Bagwell, how far did he go? I'll tell you how far he went. As far as the east is from the west, thank God. He buried it in the depths of the deepest part of the sea. Forgiveness of sins, thank God. Are y'all with me? Does anybody here remember the day the load lifted? Does anybody remember the day the Lord Jesus Christ took it and carried it far, far? My sins are gone. Hallelujah. It's an amazing statement here in God's Word. Verse 15. I'm pretty sure we're not going to make it to verse 20. This is not a watch night service.
Oh, but it can't
be. I will do the best I can to cover our verses. 15, verse 15. Who, pronoun, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Of the invisible God, Jesus. I'm going to play with this. It's enjoyable. God the Father, boy, this is going out on a limb. I don't have to go. Is invisible. What did he say? How do you know he's invisible? I just read it. The invisible God. Jesus agrees. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then didn't he say this? God is spirit. They that worship him must worship. God is spirit. Brilliant statement. Somebody agree. You can't see a spirit. At least if I ever do see one, I'm getting out of here. I'm moving on. You can't see a spirit. God is spirit. Paul elsewhere tells us God is dwelling in the light. No man can approach. Again, uses the word invisible. Oh my goodness. Hey, didn't one of the disciples ask this one day? Jesus, show us the Father. Show us the Father. We'll be happy. It'll suffice us. Remember what Jesus said? He that has seen me. I'm going to need some amen. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Let me give you that Greek noun image. It's icon. I-K-O-N. Icon. You got some of them on your computer screen. And they use this Greek word, icon. I got my little Bible program. It's got Paul, looks like talking to Timothy or something. And if I double click on that icon, hope I get an amen, I get the whole program. If I double click on that icon, I get the whole program. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm glad one day I double clicked on Jesus. And you know what happened when I double clicked on Jesus? I got the whole program. Hallelujah. Lock, stock, and barrel. I got it all. Hallelujah. Our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's the image of the invisible God. And He's the firstborn. He's the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature. There are some false religionists who take that line and say that proves Jesus was born, that He's not God, that He's not eternal, that He was born, and that was His origin. I want to say something without batting an eye. Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, He's been around a lot longer than Bethlehem. Bless you. I was thinking I'd get a better amen than that. He is the eternal Son of God. Well, pray tell me, what does it mean when He's the firstborn of every creature? Let me give you the word. Are y'all still listening to me? Firstborn. Prototype. Now I'm taking it from Greek to English. Prototype. He is the prototype of every creature. Pray tell me, what is a prototype? Should Lockheed, in fact they did, got a contract from the government decades ago to build an airship called a C-130. They built one, and as soon as they got it built, put it in the wind tunnel, tested it from A to Z, from top to bottom, front to back, and then they put it in the air. That first C-130 is called the prototype. The prototype. And here's what it means. Hope you get an amen ready. If the prototype flies, the rest of us are going to be all right. Hallelujah. If the prototype works, if the prototype stays aloft, if the prototype is a success, it's good news. Oh, can I make an announcement? The prototype works. Hallelujah. The prototype is perfect. And I'm glad. He's the firstborn. He gets priority among the brethren. I like that thought. He's the prototype. Verse 16. Let's look at this. For by Him, say amen if you believe it when I get through with this clause. For by Him were all things created. Amen. Brother Bagwell, now wait a minute, Brother Bagwell. You need to go back and read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I ain't budging an inch. Here's why I'm not budging an inch. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God. God created. God used as His agent of creation the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Let me get it right. By Him were all things created. And then there's this great big list. All things. I ain't real smart. Hope you'll smile at me, but I know what all means. I heard a preacher the other day trying to explain that word all, and he didn't do too good. He wasn't sure all meant all. He thought all meant something totally different. He thought that all meant some. All does mean all, thank God. By him are all things created. Preacher, why don't you just pass over that? We don't need no preaching about creation tonight. Listen to me. Oh yes we do. Oh yes we do. I don't know how to word it. I'm going to take a stab at it. If you don't have a creator, you don't need a savior. Think it over. If you don't have a creator, you don't need a savior. They're trying to tell us the first few chapters of Genesis are bogus. It's a pack of lies and fable. If it's wrong in Genesis, it could be wrong somewhere else. My Bible is inerrant. It has no mistakes. Hallelujah. Brother Bagwell, if I don't have a creator, I don't need a savior. Here's what atheistic Darwinism evolution says. Says we started out millions of years ago in some slimy pond. Yeah. Somehow spontaneously, it's luck, it's fate, life spontaneously generated. And then we developed, millions of years, and developed, and here we are today. No God, no Creator. I only know one poem. Once I was a monkey hanging in a tree. Now I'm a college professor with a PhD. That's what that crowd believes. They believe we got smarter and smarter. We never were sinners. We hadn't done nothing wrong. We're tadpoles that have grown up. And we're on our way in a great upward trajectory. If that's true, we're not sinners. We've never gone wrong. In fact, we're getting better and better. And we do not need a savior. Now I want to tell you what God says. God said we started perfect in a garden called Eden. Adam and Eve messed us up, plunged us into a vortex of sin, and it has been, will I get an amen? It's been pretty much downhill ever since. And America is illustrating the swamp of the situation. And if you started perfect, look around and see what's going on today, you do need some help. You do need a Savior. You do need a Deliverer. You do need a Redeemer. Do y'all see what I'm trying to say? If you don't have a Creator, you don't need a Savior. But if you got a Creator and He made you perfect, you need a Savior. You need somebody to wash your sins away. Hallelujah. And one is available for you. Amen. All things were made by Him. Look at the end of my verse. Wish I could preach it all. And for Him. See those last three words in 16? And for Him.
Amen.
I don't know where this is going, preacher. I'm just going. And for Him. Not only was everything made by Him, I just read everything was made for Him. If I'm anywhere near correct, the air I breathe, and the words that my lips are forming should exist, will I get an amen, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me out. How many of y'all believe they sang in the Holy Ghost tonight? How many of you believe God had His touch on? You know why they sang? For Him. We got to hear it. For Him. For Him. Thank God we exist for Him. You say, well, I'll take that with a grain of salt. I'll have to think about that. Well, them atheists have... Listen to me. There's coming a day when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ, it's for Him, that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
There's a smart aleck the other day. I tried to preach the Word of God. He came up. This is what he said. He said, Brother Bagwell, how does it feel to be out of the mainstream of religious thought? How does it feel to be in the marginal element? Implying I was nuts. I got news for him. I'm on the winning side tonight. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for my Creator, who's also my Redeemer. Hallelujah to His name. It's all for Him. Amen. Amen. I even think this camp meeting's for him. One of y'all. Let me grab a little piece of another verse. I've been preaching 35 minutes and 55 seconds. Y'all okay? Oh, verse 17. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now I've already preached, He made everything. He's great. He is before all things. The little word before sort of serves as an adverb in our English text. It's simply pro, P-R-O. Let me tell you what it means. Hope somebody will smile. It means He's ahead of everything. All right. I must not have explained it real good. We're all behind Him. That's what I'm saying. Over there in Hebrews 12, when the Holy Ghost tells us Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, that word author, go home and look it up. It means line leader. Line leader. Oh my, I'm in line tonight. I'm going to heaven. Bunch of you acting like you're in line too, thank God. But it's a 2,000 year line. And guess who's at the head of this thing? Guess who's leading this thing? Guess who's the reason why we're up there? It is the one who is before all things. Hallelujah. That's Jesus, our Lord. He is before all things. Wait a minute. And by Him, all things consist. Are y'all getting tired? Are you getting bored? Stay with me a little while longer, if you will. By Him all things consist. Let me give you an English synonym here. By Him all things hold together. Stand together. Jesus is what's holding this thing together, ladies and gentlemen. He is the cohesive force of the universe. Astronomy hadn't got it figured out yet. In our little corner of the universe, a solar system, a sun surrounded by nine, Pluto is still in, by the way I count, nine planets. and Mercury stays in her place, so does Venus and Earth and Mars all the way out to the outer reach. Pluto is still there. They don't understand what holds it all together. They don't understand why one of these days one of the planets is not flung out in space. And I'm a preacher, not a scientist. But I got that one figured out. I'll tell you what holds this solar system together and every galaxy in existence tonight. I'll tell you who it is. It's my Savior. By Him, all things consider. I have just given an illustration in macrocosm. Now let me give one in microcosm. We can't see it. None of us ever seen one. It's called an atom. A-T-O-M, an atom. They now have electron microscopes that can peer into an atom. An atom has a nucleus. And around the nucleus, there are electrons that spin orderly, in neat arrangement, as if commanded by a higher authority. Here I go. He's not only holding the universe together, He's holding me and you together tonight. He's holding the atoms together. By Him all things consist. Hallelujah. It just helps to have a big God. You know that. Magnificent Lord Jesus Christ. By Him, all things consist. Verse 18. And He, y'all ever get this feeling reading this text? Paul just can't quit. He'd been bragging about the Lord a good while now, and he keeps putting and. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church. I mentioned it last night. I didn't elaborate. Most contemporary theologians deny that Paul wrote Colossians. They deny it on the grounds of what they say, grammar, vocabulary, emphases that are here. Here's what they say. They say Paul, in none of his other epistles, ever talked about the head. He always talked about the body. The body, the church. And it is true. Paul preaches a lot about the body. In Romans, he tells us, one body, many Corinthians, many members. And we've got gifts according to that. Or he talks a lot about the body. But in Colossians, he talks about the head. Listen to this. It's a theological term. Duh. Y'all want it again? Duh. Here's another synonym. Hogwash, hogwash it is. Yeah, he preached a lot about the body. Will I get an amen here? But where there's a body, there is a head. I want all y'all just use your hand and check. Be sure I'm right. Have you got a head sitting on top? If you don't let me know nothing about it. Until I'm in the car going to die. If you got a body, you got a head. Paul talks a lot about the body, but there would be no body if there were not a head. Thank God. He is the head of the body, the church. You ever heard this expression? He's got a good head on his shoulders. Well, I'll tell you, that's true of the church, isn't it? Helen? I was preaching the other night, a distant state, and the boy came up to me doubting whether you could be eternally secure. And I don't have a lot of patience sometimes, but it wasn't rude that, and I think he was sincere. Really, really struggling with that doctrine. John Wesley died still not believing in eternal security. It's amazing. He knows now. But he died. This is what God gave me. It's as corny as country can be. I said, son, I said, I have noticed something about myself. Everywhere my head goes, my body follows. Now, some of y'all are smarter than you're acting right now. My head's going up these steps, and I'll declare my body has come with it. Everywhere my head goes, my body follows. Guess where my head is tonight? My head is in glory, seated at the right hand of God the Father, interceding and praying for me, going out on a limb here. If my head is already there and I'm part of the body, I'm on the way. Hallelujah. I'm on the way, glory. He's the head. He's the head of the body. That word kephale, the Greek word for head, it comes from a verb that means, get this, to seize. To seize. I mean to grab a hold of something and not let go. To seize. Well, preacher, that doesn't define, that doesn't do me any good. To seize. If He's our head, if He's our Lord, if He's our Savior, we sure had better let Him seize us and grasp us. I'm going to need some amens. And control us and direct us. And we better obey our head. Amen. To seize. He's the head of the body. The church. Oh, I'd love to talk about that. The church. The word in every preacher in the house, every Sunday school teacher knows it. It is ecclesia. Ecclesia. Can I spend 2 minutes on it? Maybe. Church. Ecclesia. The Greek is ek, which is ex to us. It's ek in Greek. It's that word exit. It means to out, to go out. But the Bible's exiting the back. Ek. Ecclesia. What is the lesia part? It is a verb. Kaleo. And it means called. Call. Here's what the church is. I hope I get some amen. A called out assembly. A called out assembly. I did a little research on that word. It was used in the secular, ungodly Greek world. They would use it for labor unions. As an ecclesia, everybody in that group laid brick or picked grapes for a living. It was a labor. A bunch of folks called out from all avenues, different levels of economy, different grade levels, and they've got one common cause. Laying brick. Picking grapes. One common cause. I hope I get an amen here. One day the Holy Ghost of God came by me and He kaleo'd me. He called me. He loved me. He drew me unto Himself. He called me out of the world. He called me out of that garbage. He called me out of that filth. And now I belong. Boy, I'm stretching this. Now I belong to a labor union. Now I belong to a labor union. A bunch of blood-washed, born-again folks that ought to be busy laboring for the Lord. Secular word, converted, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We're a called out crowd to serve our Master. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. Oh my, there's no end to it. He's the beginning. Arche, the word archaeology comes from. Arche, He is the beginning. I'm not going to preach it. There's some other things I want to say. But minute ago I found out he's the line leader. He's the end. Could I tell you that? He's not just the end, he is the beginning. Oh, I must have not have said it right. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Thank God. He's the Aleph. He's the Tav. Oh my. I'm glad He was before me. I'm glad He's eternal. I've got eternal life. Thank God. Somebody said He's the Alpha and the Omega. Help me. And everything in between. I believe He is. I believe He is. Go with me though. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. I'm in verse 17. May not get much further. He's the firstborn from the dead. The prototype from the dead. I've heard men argue that and dispute it. Jesus is not the firstborn from the dead. Elijah raised the boy from the dead. So did Elisha. And even our Lord, He raised that little 12-year-old girl and the widow's son at Nain, and Lazarus been dead 4 days. Don't you tell me Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. I'll make an announcement. I hope I don't ruin anybody's faith. Them young'uns that Elijah and Elisha raised, they died again. They died again. The little 12-year-old girl died again. Widow's son at Nain died again. Boy, I'm not getting the help I thought of. Lazarus died again. You say, I don't believe Lazarus died again. You either believe he died again, or you believe there's a 2,020-year-old Lazarus walking around here somewhere. Well, that'd be a birthday cake, wouldn't it? 2,020 years old. He died again. He died again. But what if I told you, I know somebody they slew on Calvary. He died, but he was raised from the grave. Oh my, he was raised from the grave, and he ain't never gonna die again. Alive, alive forevermore. Hallelujah. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. Oh, that in all things, He might have the preeminence. That in all things, it's a subjunctive mood verb. It's God's will, it's God's goal, it's God's, that He might have the preeminence. Watch this. It's interesting. That word preeminence, you think it'd be big, long, blended, it's not. Protos, spelled both ways. What does it mean? See if I get a little help here. First place. I mean, it's not all that deep. It means first place. And I really believe this. I'm pretty sure he's had first place around here tonight. Is anybody in this house and he's got first place in your heart? Thank God. He's a first place Savior. That in all things he might have the preeminence. I preached 2 or 3 sermons recently on the Holy Spirit. I enjoyed preaching them. But the more I preached about the Holy Ghost, there was almost a hesitancy. Almost a reticence. Almost a preach the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute, preacher, don't go too far. I figured it out. You begin to magnify the Holy Spirit. Talk about the Holy Spirit. He'll only let you go so far. He'll never glorify Himself. But He will. Need some amen. He will lift up our Savior. That in all things, Jesus might have the preeminence. I like trying to talk about Jesus. Verse 19. I have a timer somewhere. I'm at 53 minutes. Are you all okay? Yes. Can you go 7 more minutes? Yes. They said they could. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, should all fullness dwell. Whatever it means, subject of great study, whatever it means, need an amen. It sure does please the Father. In fact, I'm going to say this. Jesus pleases His Father. Jesus said it in John's Gospel, mid-Gospel. I always do the things that please Him. He pleased His Father. It has pleased the Father. The verb is eudokeo. What in the world does it mean? E-U in Greek always means good. Well. It's a wonderful thing. Dokeo. It means to evaluate, to seem, to calculate. God the Father looked down on His Son. He looked down at the baptism. He looked down at the transfiguration. He looked down at the cross of Calvary. And God looked on His Son, gave Him an A+, told Him He pleased Him with all of His Son. Anybody believe God is pleased? My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He said. But dokeo. Dokeo, brother, hold that for me if you will. Means something besides just evaluate or calculate. Jesus dokeos the Father. I'm going to use my handkerchief. Dokeo comes from a root verb that means this. Please get it. To show something off. To put something on display.
Right.
To be so proud of something, you want everybody to see it. Yeah. And to enjoy it. Yeah. As you are enjoying it. Could I tell you something about God the Father? He's so proud of Jesus. He's so thrilled with Jesus. He's so honored. Somebody ought to holler glory. He is so taken with Jesus. He wants to put Him on display. He wants for all mine that in all things He might have the preeminence. By Him all things consist. You said it right. Loveliest name I know. Jesus. Thank God He will be on display for all of eternity. It pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. I'll not get to verse 20. Should all fullness dwell. Listen to the word. Thank you. Where did I lay my timer? Pleroma. Pleroma. I got 3 minutes. I'll be done. 3 minutes. What is pleroma? It is translated here by our wise King James fullness. Fullness. Oh my, I won't get to it this week, I don't think. Paul is battling some enemies in Colossae. There's a false religion that's moved in. For you that study, it's called Gnosticism. They don't believe Jesus is God come in the flesh. That automatically means they're going to hell if they don't get saved. They believe the way to get to heaven, you got to work your way there. You got to meet one angel and another angel and another angel. They got thousands of them. You got to learn their name. And finally, after years of laboring, years of trying, you work your way up the ladder and finally you meet God. You finally earn your way to enlightenment. Gnosticism means knowledge or enlightenment. And when you step out, having been finally enlightened for all of your work, you have reached pleroma. That's their word, pleroma. So, Paul's having a little fun. He said, you rascals can work and work and buy and pay and meet angel after angel after angel and someday get pleroma, or Or you get washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, and you'll find out, oh, I need a good amen, you'll find out Jesus is Pharaoh my. Hallelujah. In Jesus, it pleased the Father that should all pleroma the fullness dwell. Hallelujah. To His name. Not going to cover the last verse. Probably won't get it tomorrow night. Want to go on to another text. But I've learned enough about Him tonight. You say, you haven't learned a thing. Oh, yes, I have. Anybody believe the Holy Ghost can teach you while you're preaching the Word of God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But I've learned enough about Him tonight to leave this building thinking more of Him, loving Him more deeply, absolutely more determined to make Him first place, preeminent in my life. Hallelujah. Get me an amen. Hallelujah for the darling Son of God. Colossians is Christocentric, Christ-centered to the core. Now, it doesn't close three times. This is it. Need an amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Would you stand with us with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed? Musician will play. You sure have been patient. You've listened so well. Anybody want to come love Him a minute? Thank Him a minute. Let Him know you want Him to be first place. Anybody want to thank the Father for rescuing you, delivering you, translating you? Want to thank Jesus for redeeming you, forgiving you, creating you, then saving you? Anybody want to pledge to give Him preeminence more than ever before? I didn't get to preach about the blood of His cross. Oh, what would we do without Calvary? Sing a verse, son, if you will.
My Jesus.